Well, I got two quick stories for you this morning, this afternoon, before we delve into what we're going to do tonight. One is, I asked Sam if I could tell a blonde joke. He says, sure, I love blonde jokes. Well, here's my blonde joke. There were four co-eds at the University of Memphis. They're trying to figure out where they're going to go for spring break. After much deliberation and everything, they decided they wanted to go to Disney World since none of them had ever been. Well, they got all packed up. One of them had a white Mustang convertible, and they decided they would go in that. And coincidentally, they all were blonde. Well, they left Memphis with their destination of Orlando. They got down to Orlando, and going into the city of Orlando, there's a big sign that says, Disney World left, and they came back. The first or second Wednesday night that I was here, I mentioned that my wife and I have been married for almost 58 years. Now, I want you to understand that when you're married 58 years, there is an occasional spat. Any of you ever have a spat? Well, it just so happened, and I must have had a bad day. I've never done it again. But she did something, and I yelled at her. I says, honey, how in the world could God make you so beautiful and so dumb at the same time? Well, I knew right off I had made a mistake. But I want to tell you this. She didn't hesitate. She says, that's easy. He made me beautiful so you would be attracted to me. He made me dumb so I would be attracted to you. I've never yelled at her again. As I mentioned to you last week, we're going to do something a little bit different. In 1960, I graduated from the university, and that summer I was a Baptist Student Union summer missionary to Southern California. Spent 12 weeks in Rialto and Ontario. In my tenure at Ontario, there was a pastor there. His name was B.W. Mantooth. And B.W. Mantooth taught all of his sermons as illustrated sermons. I fell in love with them that summer of 1960 and said if I ever got into a position to do some illustrated things, I wanted to do some. So I had an opportunity to build this illustrated message that we're going to talk about tonight. And I hope that you get out of it what I want you to get out of it. I love this. And if you start walking out at the middle, I'll understand. But here it is, illustrated sermon. I want to tell you that we're going to do something up here with a sheet of paper. And it's kind of neat how you do this. And before we get into it, I just want to say that after you look at this illustration and you have a desire to know how to do it, if you'll come up here after the service is over, I can show you how to do that in less than 30 seconds. And then you can arm yourself, which in my opinion is one of the finest individual soul-winning tools that you can possibly have. I want to tell you that back, how many of you remember Jason Talent? When Jason was here, I shared this with Jason, and he wanted me to teach him how to do it. So we decided to come over to a Mexican restaurant over here on Germantown Parkway and have a taco, and I'd show him how to do this. So we came over in this restaurant and got in the back booth in the corner. And I spread out the paper and all the stuff and started the doing what I'll be doing shortly. Notice that standing behind Jason was a beautiful young Mexican girl. As it turned out, she was 16 years old. Her name was Alexa, and she was the owner's daughter. So I had started this, and obviously it's curiosity. So before we had gone far into this, I looked up at her and I says, "Young lady, would you like to have a seat right here by my friend and let me show both of you what I'm doing and how it works?" She said, "I'd love to." And when we got through, I said, "Alexa, would you like to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you?" And she said, "I sure would." So somewhere today, Alexa knows Jesus because of what you're going to see tonight. And I trust that you'll be blessed by this. Well, here it goes. The story is told about a man. And this man committed a crime and he was put in prison. Now, the town in which this prison was in had a church like Bellevue and had a wonderful prison ministry. By the way, I think Bellevue has the finest Christian prison ministry of any church I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of them. Butch Parker heads that up. Butch is under the weather now, but it is a fabulous. Many, many people come to know Jesus because of the prison ministry at Bellevue Baptist Church. Well, this church had this prison ministry, and they witnessed to this young man, and this young man was saved. I mean, he was genuinely saved. And he witnessed to every person that he came in contact with. He wanted to find out if they knew Jesus, and if they didn't know Jesus, he knew how to tell them about Jesus. And he told them about Jesus and how to be saved. Well, he had a limited clientele, but there was one person in this jail, the jailer. And this jailer would walk by every day down the halls. And when he came to this young man's cell, this young man would lay it on him about Jesus. The jailer knew this man had a life-changing situation in prison. He knew it because he tried to tell him about Jesus every day he walked down that hall. And this jailer says, "I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to know about Jesus. I got my life to live." Next day, same thing. "Mr. Jailer, pause just a minute and let me tell you about Jesus." "No, I'm not interested in that." That went on and on and on. And I'm sure it got to be aggravating to the jailer. So one day, same thing happens. The jailer walks by and this young man says, "Jailer, stop just a minute and let me share something with you." And he says, "Young man, let me just say this to you. Do you see this piece of paper?" He says, "Take this piece of paper. And if you can take that piece of paper and fold it, do whatever, wad it up, do whatever you want to do with it. And we can take a pair of scissors and make one cut. And after we cut this paper one time, if it forms a cross, I will stop and listen to what you have to say." Jailer goes on. The young man picks up the paper. Let me see how I'm going to do this. Man, I didn't know we were going to have such a nice thing here. I would have brought a big, big piece of paper. It'd take four guys to handle it. I ain't going to do it that way. Just bear with me. This guy says, "You know, it's no telling what Jesus can do with a piece of paper." Okay. you remember, like making an airplane? You say you'll never get that done. That's not true. I'm going to show you in less than 30 seconds. Here it is. The young man had his paper. He was ready for the jailer when the jailer came walking by that day. So the jailer walks by, and the jailer says, "How you doing?" He says, "Let me show you what I have." He says, "This is the piece of paper yesterday that you gave to me. And you said, if you can take that piece of paper and fold it that way, and so we can cut it one time and make a cross, then I'll listen to what you have to say." Well, they probably didn't have scissors in jail, but they got scissors, and he's cutting this. I said, "I've got many pieces right here to show you." He says, "But here's a piece right here. We're going to look at this piece, and this piece right here represents the cross on which my Savior was crucified on. That is all that you ask me to do. But I have more, because there are pieces of paper literally everywhere. And I just want to show you what we have here." Well, here is a board, represents a board. And they wrote on this board, "This is Jesus Christ, King of the Jews." A sign they made, and they put it above the cross. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. Well, it's interesting too, here are two more little pieces of paper. And these little pieces of paper represents the die, the dice that the soldiers used at the foot of the cross to cast lots and gamble for his garments. Absolutely amazing. Two little pieces of paper, what it represents. Now take this in, jailer. This is important. Jesus, Scripture tells us, was crucified between two thieves. One thief heard what was going on, rejected Jesus, and turned away from Jesus. Boy, these magnets are better than I thought. And that thief went to hell. But there was another thief on the other side of Jesus that heard the message, heard the gospel, trusted Jesus, hanging as a thief on a cross next to Jesus, and he gave his heart to Jesus and turned to Jesus. And that day, Jesus says, "This day you will be with me in paradise." He was saved. He was saved. Well, I want to tell you that Jesus suffered, bled, and died for us on this cross. And here's a spear that they thrust in the side of our Savior to hasten the death of our Savior. Now, our Savior suffered, bled, and died on the cross at Calvary, Golgotha. And when he died, they had no place to bury him. Well, there was a friend, and his name was Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea loaned his tomb and they put the body of Jesus in a borrowed tomb. He said, "But Mr. Jailer, it's not finished yet." Because 3 days later, our Savior walked out of that tomb, a risen Savior. He rose from the dead after having paid the price for your sins and mine, so we could trust in Jesus as the Son of God and have a heavenly home in heaven for an eternity. This is my Savior. Now, Mr. Jailer, there's a verse of Scripture that goes along with this illustration. And that verse of Scripture is John 3:16. John 3:16 is the most quoted, the most memorized, the most read verse in the Holy Bible. If you look at that verse of Scripture, it has 25 words in it. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, if you look at that verse further and divide it up, you take the first 12 words in that verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten." These 12 words show the heart of God. And you can look at your outline and begin to fill these blanks in. First 12 words show the heart of God. A God that loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us. First 12 words. Well, if you have a verse of Scripture that has 25 words, you're going to have a word that stands by itself. The word right in the middle of that verse is Son, is Jesus. This tells us that Jesus is the center of everything good and everything perfect. Our Lord, our Savior. And he wants to be the center of your life. Jesus. Jesus. And then, of course, there's the last 12 words. These last 12 words show God's appeal to man. It is not Jesus' idea that anyone should be lost. He wants everybody to come to a saving knowledge of him. So this is his appeal to man. His appeal to man. "That whosoever," that's you and me and everybody, "believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting is a long time. We need to understand that everybody needs to know a God like this. And Mr. Jailer, everybody needs to hear a gospel like this. And everybody needs to see love like this. And this morning, Mr. Jailer, I want to tell you this, that you are going to make a decision today. You are going to choose my Lord as Savior and Lord in your life. Or if you don't do that, you will automatically make another choice of not believing in Jesus as his personal Savior. And if you don't believe in Jesus as Lord and King, this is where you're going to spend eternity. That is where you are going to spend an eternity. Choose today. Choose Jesus as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise your name. We thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. We thank you, Father, that you make it so clear to us, so perfectly clear, as to what we have to do is simply acknowledge that Jesus is your Son and that he suffered, bled, and died on that cross and came out of that tomb after 3 days, having paid the ransom for us. And if we trust him as our personal Savior, as you devised the plan before the foundation of the world, that down through the ages, anybody would trust Jesus as their Savior, they would have a heavenly home. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. We ask these things in your name alone. Amen.
The gospel is very clear, amen? It's very simple. And I hope and pray that all of you have had a time in your life, as our pastor says, where you repented of your sins and asked Jesus to come in your life. However, if there's some here tonight that you've never done that, you never repented of your sins, you never asked Jesus to come in your heart, you can do that tonight. We're going to stand in a moment and sing a closing song, Jesus Paid It All, and he did. Brother John will be here. John Caldwell, one of our great deacons, is right over here. They'd love to talk to you, share with you, pray with you. Maybe you're interested in joining Bellevue. Maybe you've never been baptized. You'd like to set up an appointment for you to be baptized. We can do that. Maybe you just need prayer. I'd like to come for one of these fine men to pray with. There'll be others who would be glad to do that as well. Whatever God has spoken to you about, if you feel the freedom to come tonight, we'll encourage you to do that. Stand with us, if you will, and let's sing, Jesus Paid It All.